everybody. It's me, Kathleen Madigan. Welcome to Madigan's Pubcast. You grab yourself a drink, pull up a bar stool, and let's talk about what's been going on. Well, hello, termites. Welcome back. It's episode 6. Look who's joined us now. It's Cher. Yes. I actually got a cardboard Cher because I thought it would be fun to mix it up. Maybe she'll hold the Bush Light next week. These, I believe, are life-size because I am 5'1", and Stevie and me and Dolly are the same. Cher, 7'8". So that's what's behind me. If you're listening out there in podcast world, there's just some cardboard cutouts that I like to keep upstairs and not scare the shit out of myself downstairs. So let's get started, termites. I always try to tell you if I find something cool. And I would recommend if you're a Twitter person, I know a lot of people are not. A lot of people like the Instagram and the Facebook and the TikTok. I'm going to try to learn TikTok just in time for the Chinese to steal all of my information. And then my next question is, what would they do with it? I don't know. And it turns out I don't really care. I know that TikTok is dangerous and I don't care. I'm going to do it because it looks like fun. I'm probably their target person. There's probably my headshot's probably in China somewhere in an office. People going, this is the lady we're looking for. Mm-hmm. Her and a bunch of 12-year-olds. But the reason I'm looking at my phone is because I took a screenshot of this. So if you're a Twitter person, I really like Super 70s Sports. It's at Super, S-U-P-E-R, 70s, S-O-S, Sports, capital S-P-O-R. You'll find it. Super 70s Sports. It's just super goofy and... you'll see when you go on there, but there was one he posted that was so funny. Like, who knew? I gotta go back and say, okay. The Brewers, the Milwaukee Brewers, ground crew, used to wear lederhosen. He wrote them, and he's got a video of it. It's great. They really did. The Brewers ground crew used to wear lederhosen. I say it's about time to break out the goddamn throwbacks. I mean, I would go to a Brewers game, probably no matter what, because I just like Milwaukee and I like when they play the Cardinals. But if they had a lederhosen, I'd go even if I didn't know anything about them just to see that. So there's your little Twitter highlight. I've been meaning to open the show with a Dolly Parton quote and I keep forgetting, but I haven't forgotten this week. Here's a little quote on having a successful career. Are you ready, ladies? It's mostly for ladies. I look like a woman, but I think like a man. I've done business with men who think I'm as silly as I look. By the time they realize I'm not, I've done got the money and gone. There's a little something from Dolly. She doesn't say get gone. Tanya Tucker says that. I got to get gone. And now I can't get that out of my head. And I'll be saying that for the next 10 years. When anybody says, what are you doing? I'm just going to go, I got to get gone. I got to get gone. Okay. Cher, by the way, probably one of the best shows I've ever seen in my life. If we all come back at any point, try to see Cher in Las Vegas. I don't know about on the road. I mean, they do take all that stuff, but I think it's just better in Vegas. And at one point, she did this giant thing. I mean, there's costumes she does every decade. It's great. But then she said, right after this enormous dance number, she goes, and what's your grandma doing tonight? And I laugh my ass off because she's funny, too. Funny, a lot going on there. Okay, it's update time, guys. And I know I've been stuck on this because it's Jerry Falwell, because I do take pleasure in the falls of evangelicals. I don't know why. I guess because the Catholics, the priest, obviously, but it's the things they ban that, like, as a Catholic, I can't even get on board with this. So the pool boy that Jerry said his wife was having an affair with, but Jerry flew him around in a private jet and all this crap. And then the pool boy goes, no, he was watching us. He was part of it all. I'm with the pool boy. I'm believing the pool boy. They also said that Jerry Falwell Jr., and he's in charge of all of Liberty University, he showed up on campus smelling of alcohol, which would probably explain the drunky, I'm guessing, posting on Instagram of himself with his pants down. He thought it was hilarious. And maybe it would be if you weren't Jerry Falwell Jr. If it was Nick Schwartzen, yeah, I totally expect that. He showed up on the campus smelling of alcohol, which is strictly prohibited. He also, it's claimed that Falwell Jr. sent a nude photo of his wife, Becky, to a group of people, which included his son. Okay, if my dad ever did that, that would be the end of his phone. I would take the phone, and I'd take my mom's phone, and I'd pay for both of those phones. And I would say, you're off the Sprint network. You know, you can approach one of your other children. You have six others. But I'm going to tell them what's going on, Dad. That's what I'm going to do. And then you'll see if you can con somebody else into putting you on their family plan. So these are just more updates. Now, he has been let go, and they gave him $10 million. But I'm telling you, that is not enough to keep up this lifestyle of private jets and vacations and nightclubs, because that's apparently what he was doing. A lot of time in Miami. And then the pool boy, he wanted to get bought out of the youth hostel, whatever thing that Falwell bought for him. Okay, tell me this guy's having an affair with your wife. You're not participating, but you're just going to go ahead and give him a shitload of money to go for his dreams. Well, then this guy got sick of all of it, and he threatened to, quote, go kamikaze to get ahead of it. Jerry released a statement saying he'd had an affair with his wife, but it was brief. 7 years. That's not brief, Jer. That's a long, long ass time. I don't even think there's an animal that stays pregnant 7 years. Maybe. I don't know enough about all that. Afterwards, he stepped down from the Liberty Ultra Religious University that his father, Jerry, quote, Big Jerry Falwell, founded. Now they've launched an investigation into the Falwell's conduct at the helm of the school. And I Googled that, and I'm not going to go into it because it's too hard to understand. I had to quit reading. But he has done a lot of finagling. Let's put it that way. There's a lot of shit that if you go digging, a lot of deals on buildings and bridges and all this stuff, you know, that he probably shouldn't have been doing, is what I'm guessing. And this is what kills me. Liberty University tells all of its students that sex should only be between a man and a woman, a man and his wife, and that sobriety should be practiced. Okay, well, Jerry's not doing that. Their lavish lifestyle. Well, I guess he could say no, because that pool boy wasn't married to his wife. Whose wife? A wife? No, it's got to be your wife. Their lavish lifestyle consisted of heavy drinking and going to nightclubs. Now, see, if you were a Catholic, so far you're golden. There's nothing wrong here. You can go to a nightclub, drink all you want. Nobody seems to care except your relatives. It's not going to be the Catholic Church doesn't care. You can gamble, no problem. Smoke, sure, go for it. But this is strictly prohibited by the honor code, which they expect everyone else to follow. Falwell, though, that he wasn't going to leave. And then I'll get off this subject until he makes news again, which I'm sure it won't take. Okay, I should have called this podcast Rabbit Hole. That's what I should have called it, because I'm really appreciative of you guys that are listening and hanging with me, because I do have a tendency to go off the rails. But then I saw this thing, Larry Flint, he's the Hustler guy, which, by the way, I didn't even know. I knew a guy shot him, but I didn't know why. This guy liked porn. It wasn't about the porn. He was mad that Larry posted a picture of interracial porn. So he took racism through the back door of porn and shot Larry. You know, I bet Larry didn't see that one coming. He might have thought he'd get shot for the porn, but anyway, Larry Flint, my final farewell to the Falwells. And I thought, wow. Then I had to Google, is Larry even alive? Am I even reading shit that's real? I watched that show, The Great Hack, and now I don't know anything. This is a little article Larry wrote, and I thought it's worth reading. He wrote this for the Daily Beast. When I heard Jerry Falwell Jr. had resigned from Liberty University in disgrace, it struck me as I lost a word there on my printout, the ending to a long personal saga with the Falwell clan, an essential note to the role of religion and free speech in America. For those unfamiliar with this ancient history, it began in the 70s, soon after I started publishing Hustler. This is what I'm telling you. What have I said? Every single thing that's wackadoodle is in the 70s. And one day I'm going to have Lewis Black on this show, and I'm going to make him explain every goddamn one of them, from the cults to people are just crazy then. And I'm not old enough, thank God, to know why, but Lou can explain it, I'm sure. Hustler parody of a Campari ad that used the liquor slogan. This is what Larry Flint printed. You'll never forget your first time of drinking that liquor. But the parody, a cartoon he printed said, featured an interview with Falwell waxing nostalgic about his first time with his mother in a Virginia outhouse. Yeah. I don't know what you do with that. Larry did that. And I would think that might get you in a little bit of trouble. But I don't know. I don't know about cartoons. Maybe it wasn't a cartoon. It could have just been a fake interview, I guess. The legal battle lasted 5 years from 1983 to 1988, including three decisions against me in federal courts. There was an important principle at stake, the rights of artists, writers, and publishers to satirize public figures. Finally, I was vindicated by the Supreme Court. What? In a unanimous decision written by conservative Chief Justice William Rehnquist. The case is often cited as a landmark ruling for the preservation of our First Amendment rights to free speech. Ironically, Falwell Sr. and I actually became friends later. So Big Jerry, a.k.a. Fatty, let's call him Fatty from here on out, Fatty became friends with Larry Flint. We enjoyed many cordial visits, participated in debates across the country, and even exchanged Christmas cards. Well, wasn't that nice? I have to concede that his friendship with me proves that, for the most part, he was practicing an essential tenet of his faith, forgiveness, and was a sincere Christian. Okay. I didn't think that of him. I thought he was kind of a charlatan, but here we go. Which is more than can be said for many of his fellow televangelists. The sorry parade of charlatans like Jim Baker, Jimmy Swaggart, Paula White. That's that blonde cray-cray one that Trumpy likes, where if you go Google that chick, wow. How do you not see that coming? How do you not see this bullshit? She gets all revved up, and Jesus, 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 and it's such an act. And all the other primetime Elmer Gantries, including the son, Jerry Falwell Jr., they're obsessed above all with sexual behavior, ignoring and subverting the core message of Christianity, humility and compassion for the downtrodden while embracing prosperity gospel. That's what I get pissed about. It's such a crock of shit. It's the way they rationalize it, which is to say the gospel of greed above all other values. Yeah, they'll have private jets. Well, he'll tell you. They support politicians eager to gut Social Security, Medicare, welfare, and other programs designed to do just what Jesus Christ strived for, the reduction of human suffering in this veil of tears. This is all by Larry Flint. They live in a multi-million dollar mansions. Yeah. And fly around in private jets while fleecing their flocks for prayer donations guaranteed to cure incurable diseases and afflictions. They forget Jesus Christ only lost his temper and acted violently once when driving the moneylenders from the temple. But they are not troubled in the least by banksters on Wall Street who hovered up millions from middle-class Americans, granting the 1% get-out-of-jail-free card to do it all over again. Instead, they reserve the whip for gays, women who want to control their own bodies, pot smokers, and heretics who are only trying to lead fulfilling lives. And then he goes on to talk about the affair. And then he goes, how Trump went down there and they embraced all that. They didn't like the Trump thing. Apparently, a lot of people at Liberty didn't like it. Many of the flock were not convinced by these rationalizations of Trump. Dozens of graduates at Liberty returned their diplomas in protest, accusing, oh, this is about Falwell. They're mad about Falwell, too. Because when he said, you know, it's all fine. He's corrupted the Coors University mission and defiled its core beliefs, substituting the worship of power and influence for the worship of God. Another former Liberty student summed it up the best in the New York Times editorial. At Liberty, our minds have been receiving correct content, but our hearts have been being trained to love wrongly. I don't know that that's such a good quote. I think in Catholicism, we were probably, I'm not sure we were receiving the correct content. I'd have to think about that. But our hearts were in the right place. We got the message. That's the thing. We don't really read the Bible. I do jokes about the way I act, but just be nice, you know. Doing to others was basically the common thing. I got it. How hard is it? Christ, say it once. I heard you. Okay. This is how he sums it up. It's possible Jerry Falwell Jr. will find forgiveness from his flock, But even if he doesn't, the $10 million severance payout from Liberty will surely ease his pain. As for the rest of the country, I repeat the sentiment that has guided me for decades. Larry Flint's telling him how to be a Christian. You got to feel like shit if you're Falwell Jr. Larry Flint, hustler, porn, is going, dude, you don't get it. If there was ever to be a second coming of Jesus Christ, I have no doubt that his first order of business would be picking up a whip and banishing forever all the hucksters and false prophets who have perverted his message. I guess I never thought about Larry Flint, really. Is porn, do they still have porn magazines? Are they online? They're probably online. No, probably at truck stops. Oh, I did see some at a truck stop in Kentucky because they didn't bother to cover them up. I'm like, there's kids in here, guys. What are you doing? Is Hustler still a thing? I didn't Google it. Rabbit hole it. You guys find that out. That's an update. And then I have another update. And this is for people who like Shark Week. Oh, I'm so upset about this. Well, I was really upset about it. So during Shark Week, which is on the Discovery Channel, a while back, a few years ago, they aired a special, and it was called Megalodon, the Monster Shark Lives. Now, maybe I missed the first 5 minutes. It's possible. But I don't think so, which makes me even dumber. And dumber to admit this, I believe I sat through the whole thing. And I believed every word of it. Now, my friend Lorene, also the director of what? My next Netflix special, Bothering Jesus. She works in TV a lot. And she calls me Irish baby, and I call her Asian baby. Because if we were babies, what would we be good at? That's what we always say. I don't even know how that started. But anyway, she's like, Irish baby, please, how you can't be as smart as you are, and you could not have believed that, especially you were in a reality show. You don't even see. I go, how was I supposed to know that was fake? She goes, here's how you know something's fake when it comes to something that's serious. If all the doctors and quote scientists are super hot, it's not real. That was true. There were a lot of hot people in this thing. And I did think it was weird. I did notice it. And I thought, these people are all so good looking. Like, there's a lot of scientists that are fine, but they're nerdy. They're nerdy looking. They don't care about their outfits and all that because they're nerds. They're smart. They're just not thinking about those things. If you didn't see Megalodon, the Monster Shark Lives, their premise is that there was a giant great white years and years, millions of years ago, right? And then the premise was that maybe it's come back. I believe in anything in the ocean. Why couldn't it come back? What if a big great white, like a 20-pound great white, a 20-foot long one, ate an 18-foot long one? Now, I know that that wouldn't make it 38 feet long right out of the gate, but eventually it might grow and grow and grow and grow. And they're so full of shit, too. It's the Discovery Channel. That's the other reason I believed it. I mean, history, Discovery, are we just going to make shit up now? That's ridiculous. Your whole premise is that this is for real and you're supposed to be learning something. You know, on the History Channel, are we going to say Adolf Hitler was really a woman and do a whole show about that? No. That's bullshit. Years before the phrase fake news made its way into the lexicon, Discovery Channel got in hot water with a fake documentary. For those who don't recall the uproar, I was part of it. I tweeted my ass off. I was so mad. During Shark Week, the network aired Megalodon, the Monster Shark Lives, that the possibility about the possible return of the prehistoric creature that went extinct millions of years ago. They didn't just like hint at that. They said there were a bunch of Australians in a boat, and they found the boat and had a giant bite out of it, and the people were all missing. Well, yeah, it's Megalodon. I believed it. However, a brief disclaimer that it was fiction, I did not see that. Many people thought the documentary was real. Megalodons did exist once, but there's no evidence they've reappeared. Scientists were furious at the network. Well, not just scientists. This lady drinking a Bloody Mary. You can't do that. You can do that on other channels, but not on the Discovery Channel. And I was so happy, too, because I did a corporate gig for some cable company, and I got paid good, but more importantly, they gave me Shark Week beach towels that had bites out of the corner. Now tell me that ain't the coolest freebie you've ever come upon. Giant shark. Just a bite out of your towel. Excellent. Never, and lost them. Well, I think my mother stole them, if you really want the truth. And I never got them back. Scientists were furious at the network, which is presumed to be educational. And this was confusing for viewers. Yeah, just treat us like we're morons. That's fine. I'm not offended by that. But don't give me fake crap. It was presented in such a way that it could be very easily watched and not know it was fictional. One shark expert told NPR, thank you, expert on NPR. Yes, it was a ratings hit. Well, yeah, because you're telling me there's a giant shark out there bigger than I've ever seen and I want to see it. The most popular program in Shark Week history with nearly 5 million viewers. The next year, the network aired Megalodon, The New Evidence. So once again, did I go to that? Yeah. There's more, of which it apparently had none. Finally, in 2015, executive promised Shark Week would be more science and research focused. Oh, bullshit. Like any TV savvy network, Discovery knows the best ways to gin up. Who wrote this? How old is the person who wrote this article? I haven't heard gin up since my grandpa. Gin up. They wrote that. More viewers isn't to run away from controversy. So Friday night during the 30th anniversary of Shark Week, the channel will debut the new Megalodon Fact versus Fiction. How psycho is this? You created the fiction, and now you're doing a whole show here? Okay, here's a show about some shit we made up, and then we're going to tell you which one. Oh, my God. In the third look at the killer shark, experts will fact check and analyze the original fictional special from 2013. Oh, my God. In an era where reality is frequently questioned, the network is being especially... And then I lost a word. I mean, we're super cognizant of what happened. The last thing we want to do is cause ill will towards sharks, towards the brand, or anything like that. Well, too late, Joseph Schneider, Discovery Vice President of Development and Production. Yet at the same time, we have a program we're proud of. So we wanted to own the fact that there was some controversy and that it was... Yeah. Yeah, that's just bullshit. Then they talk about the new one. So that's happening. But here's what just happened as of September 3rd, 2020. Vast size of prehistoric Megalodon shark, which had a fin as long as a human, revealed for the first time. This is awesome. This was on CNN.com, which I do believe is real. As far as in the ongoing debate. By the way, I Googled it. Rabbit hole. What's the biggest shark out there? Deep Blue. She's 50 years old. I think it's a she. She's 50. She was tagged 20 years ago. She's 20 foot long. Google her. You can also follow a lot of sharks on Twitter, which I do. Catherine is one of my favorites with a K. A computational reconstruction of Megalodon size and proportions at different life stages. And then they show you that. The true size of a gigantic prehistoric Megalodon shark that ruled the ocean millions of years ago has been revealed for the first time. How exciting is this? It had teeth big as hands and a fin as tall as a human adult. Researchers at the University of Bristol in southwest England and at the Swansea University in South Wales used mathematical calculations to work out the size of the Megalodon shark from rare fossil remains of his teeth. Yes, this is called science. Now everything I see on the Discovery Channel, I'm just going to be like, is this one of your fake shows to make a show to explain why it was fake? I never got over it. I don't know that I ever will. Probably not. History Channel's still real to me. That's about it. And Trisha Yearwood's Southern Kitchen. That shit's real. Researchers told CNN that the giant shark species would have grown up to 18 meters. That means nothing to Americans. You know what that is? 59 feet. Do that in your calculator and see if you can figure out a pattern. I can't. 59 feet long. So that's 39 feet longer than the largest great white we know of right now. And it weighed 48 tons. I don't even know how you compute that. Which is larger than any shark known to have existed and more than twice the size of a great white shark. With teeth as big as human hands, it would have had a bite force more than 10 tons, dwarfing that of a great white shark's bite force of 2 tons. Its tail would have been as long as 12 feet, and its fin would have stood... in length, 5'3". So its fin would have been taller than me. Oh, it says the height of a human adult, not all adults. Okay. And then they go into how they did the tooth thing, and there you go. So if you want to rabbit hole Deep Blue, you can do that. That's an update of my being pissed off about Megalodon. And at least now we know there was one. Thank you, Discovery Channel. I'll have to wait till some scientists in Southeast England and Wales get bored as shit to find out the truth. Moving on. I've been driving around the Midwest and the South a lot lately. I had to go to a very COVID safety funeral, so I had to do that. But it was safe. The way they did it was smart, for the most part. I don't know. We'll see if I'm here next week, put it that way. I had to go, though, and it was worth it. But here's what I find irritating. And I've driven all around this country. That's why one time Pat Buchanan said, we can't let immigrants in and we don't have any room. I'm like, well, clearly Pat's never driven across the country. Because I got news for you, Pat. Kansas is wide fucking open. You could put like 1 million people there. Anyway, you know what I think is trashy? Billboards. Have I ever learned anything? Have I ever taken an action? Here's where billboards are great. Las Vegas, Atlantic City, because you are excited to see the billboards because you want to know the shows and you don't want to have to go to your room when you're too excited to gamble and read the magazine. That's for when you're hungover in the morning. But if you want to know right when you get out of the thing what shows are in town, the billboards are great and they're effective. And what the hell else are you going to look in Las Vegas? It's just a desert. There's nothing to look at. The billboards are fine. Atlantic City. And they put them all over Philly and everybody, everywhere around there. And then I know people see them and people know I'm coming and it's great. But aside from shows, performers, there's 4 states that don't have billboards. Did you guys know that? Did you ever think about it? The only reason I've thought it is because I've been to all 4 of these states and I noticed how awesome it was. And I also notice I'm from Missouri. And if you drive from St. Louis to Kansas City or vice versa down Highway 70, it's just littered with billboards. And it's not fun stuff. It's fighting. We're fighting on billboards. A lot of abortion ones up and down 70. So that's fun to think about when you're heading to a lake. How about that? A lot of right to work, not right to work, a lot of politics. There's a Anna's Bra Shop. Give her a shout out. Are people still doing that? They just look junky and they keep getting junkier. And why can't we just do what the other 4 states are? Okay. Guess to yourself. I'll give you a second. 4 states. Ready? I'll give you 2. 2 are West Coast, 2 are East Coast. No billboards in where? Hawaii? Alaska? They might use a couple though around Anchorage. That might spice up Anchorage a little bit. Maybe Fairbanks, too, they could use. Maybe if they were fun billboards, not sad, fighting, upsetting ones. There's a lot in the South that just say, hell is real. There's just fire all over it and shit. And then there's this 800 number, which I've called. Well, I Googled what it is, and it's a conglomerate, and they put the same shit up all over the country. So they just put it in areas that they think you're more susceptible to believe that and call the 800 number. Hell is real. Hawaii, Alaska, Maine, and Vermont have no billboards. And that is because of their fame as a scenic landscape where billboards might interrupt the natural beauty and affect tourism. You want to know who has the most billboards? I was curious, but I told you I'm a nerd. If you're in this podcast, you're in it to win it with the rabbit hole. Florida leads the pack, of course. Hold my beer, Florida. Why? Why do you? And it's there's nothing. They're just. Have you ever done anything because of a billboard? Aside from go to see a performer, I haven't. Never. It's just nonsense.
Love's Truck Stop. Gas stations.
Look, Love's Truck Stop. What about that, Paddles? I love Love's.
The billboard will be there. And
But it's also on this highway sign. I don't need a billboard to tell me there's a Love's. It says on the thing.
Not gonna pee here.
You're going to wait if it says, okay, that's true. I'll give you that. Paddles is really concerned with the truck stop billboards. Florida leads the pack with 11,100 active permits on file. Okay. Now you ready? Who's number two? Georgia. That's where there's a lot of hell is real. A lot of religious stuff. Tennessee, Georgia, Missouri too. A lot of the South. Third, California. California holds over 8,700 billboard permits. This may seem like a lot until you consider how much landmass California has it. Yeah, but what are you going to do? Put one up on your way from L.A. to Vegas or Palm Springs? Maybe Palm Springs. Yeah, they have them on the way to Palm Springs, but yeah, whatever. The fourth, New Jersey. For such a small state, New Jersey has an impressive amount of billboards permits on file. In fact, New Jersey is just behind California with 8,500 between all its counties. Well, there's a lot of people. And fifth, always in the running for not great in behavior, Missouri, my state. Largely considered a travel-through state. Fuck you. I live there. People live there. People live in St. Louis and Kansas City and Columbia. It only makes sense that Missouri has nearly 2,100 billboards. And then they say, because we're just driving through. Well, I guess. There's a lot of ones about military school. Does that seem fun? No. That seems like somebody got in trouble and they're going to military school. Six is Utah. All right. That's the end. I haven't really spent a ton of time in Utah, although I did get stopped by a cop. This is so funny. Me and my friend Chuck Martin, and we were driving 101 and got pulled over, and this guy, he looked like Opie or something. He looked 16 to me. I mean, I know I'm getting older, but seriously, he knocked on me and he goes, he just didn't look real. And he goes, do you know how fast you were going? And I literally, it just flew out of my mouth. I go, are you fucking for real? And boy, did I get a talking to. He was for real. And I got a ticket. But he's like, he goes, well, where are you going? And I said to this casino, I don't remember the name of it. Wendover, Nevada. You fly into Salt Lake. And I said, Wendover, Nevada. And he said, well, when's your show? Now, there was my chance to maybe get out of the ticket, right? I could have said, oh, it's in an hour or some shit. I go, tomorrow? What? Is there a speed limit here? That's with the salt flats. It's where they actually race cars. I'm like, I thought that's what I was supposed to be doing here. Racing shit. Anyway, that's Utah. All right. Now, this is interesting to me because somebody, I was talking about Graceland, right? And once again, I'm not an Elvis person per se. I don't really care. I like his song, Suspicious Minds. I enjoy In the Ghetto, and I really like Kentucky Rain, and I go Kentucky Rain. Anyway, we were talking about Lisa Marie. Does she own Graceland? Yes, she does. But then I thought, I want to know what happened to the rights to his music. I don't really understand rights completely because they're not the same as comedy rights. Sadly for Lisa Marie, her inheritance never included the royalties to many of Elvis's songs which were recorded. This was due to a poor deal negotiated by Elvis's manager, Colonel Tom Parker. And I'm going to go down that rabbit hole in a minute, too, because there is shit I had no idea, which meant all future royalties were signed away. When Elvis started his career in 1954, he recorded at Sun Records in Memphis, which I believe you can still go visit. He signed a contract with Sam, which meant Sam Phillips, the owner and producer at Sun Records, owned all of the recordings he made there. I would imagine that was a thing back then. However, Sam sold this contract and catalog of songs made at Sun Records to RCA, a record company, in late 1955, after which Elvis remained under contract to RCA. He received artist royalties on record sales, which were part of the contract he negotiated. However, in March 1973, Colonel Tom, this guy is such a scamster, and Elvis went to RCA suggesting Elvis be given a lump sum in lieu of all future artist royalties for anything recorded up to that time. No. Never sell your stuff. Of course, by 1973, Elvis had quite the the back catalog to work with, meaning this would have earned, you see, RCA a huge amount of money. But see, Elvis didn't see Sirius Radio coming down the world, the pike, or all the other ways, you know, that it was going to keep going. The deal was done, and RCA paid Elvis and Colonel Tom $5.4 million for the artist royalties, which was equally split between the two men. This is where Elvis having no education is just, this is bullshit. That was $31 million in today's money. So Colonel Parker, who I'm going to tell you a little bit about, got 15. As a result, Lisa Marie does not own the artist royalties on sales of recordings made before March 1973. However, the Elvis Presley Enterprises, EPE, does own artist royalties on sales of recordings made after that date, which still earns a hefty sum. EPE still holds the publishing rights to those songs, so that's good, which equals around 700, and they were partly owned, and they were part owned by Elvis through his various publishing companies. The publishers, blah, blah, blah. It's boring, boring, boring. But in 2005, Lisa Marie sold 85%, oh my God, why, of EPE to entertainment company CKX. This included physical and intellectual properties. However, Lisa Marie retained sole ownership of Graceland and her father's personal items, many of which remain in the house. Yeah, well, there you go. That's how people get ripped off. 50%? I would look at that fat man and say, what do you think you've done for 50%, fat man? And if you can't talk for at least a half an hour, you don't get 50%. That's what I would say. Here's a little something about Colonel Tom Parker, though, which... This, again, I'm too young for all this, but once you go down the rabbit hole, this dude's real name is Andreas Cornelius van Kujik. He's from the Netherlands, born in Breda, North Brabant. He died in 1997. This guy, he didn't even have a passport. You didn't even have to have him back then. He never had an American passport. He came over here when he was 18. He jumped a ship. That's what Parker arrived in America by jumping a ship. So in 1927, you could just get on a ship and jump off in America and boom, you're an American. He never in his whole life held a United States passport. Even when the 1940 Alien Registration Act would have entitled him to one, this was attributed to his uncertain legal status, possibly connected to the police inquiries about a murder in his native Breda. To the puzzlement of overseas fans, he never worked abroad for fear of apprehension, nor did he allow Elvis to tour overseas. I always thought that was crazy. Elvis never toured overseas. Why? Because this jackass may or may not have been involved in a murder, and I'm sure Elvis had no idea. He was a carnival worker by background. That's his background. Oh, my God. Anyway, he ends up managing him. He ends up dying with only $1 million. After all, he gambled it all away. He got his music career going, and then he put him in a bunch of shitty movies. So, I don't know, maybe some were good. Maybe my mother would give it a different Yelp review. But from what everything I can read, they were just, you know, bundled. Like, you're going to do 7 movies for X amount of money. Here's another, are you shitting me? Parker signed a merchandising deal with a Beverly Hills film merchandiser, Hank Saperstein, for nearly $40,000 to turn Presley's name into a brand. You got to give him credit. Who was doing branding back then? Nobody. But Colonel Parker figured it out. With over 78 different ranges, from charm bracelets to record players, Presley merchandise had brought in $22 million by the end of 1956. Parker, with his share, he gets 25% of that, was finding new ways to make money from his artists that managers could have only dreamt about. He had even come with the idea to market I Hate Elvis badges to make money for those who otherwise wouldn't have parted with their cash. In 1956, he made his first mistake with Presley's career. He booked him into a 4-night engagement in Las Vegas. Okay, this is funny. When Presley was a hit, although he was a pretty hit among the youth of America, the middle-aged audiences found him something of an oddity. Some viewed him as a clown-like figure, wiggling his hips for screams like a monkey for peanuts, while others found his manner of performance vulgar and more suitable for late-night gentlemen's clubs. Really? We're going to put a vulgar guy in the gentlemen's club? Well, you both don't work. You either get a vulgar guy to go to a vulgar club, or you have a gentleman go to a gentleman's club. That's how I see that. After a cool reception during his first few shows, Parker cut Presley's appearances to 2 weeks. He would later remember this as the worst night of his career. Then he does the movies. They suck. He doesn't like it. He goes nowhere. Parker's still making tons of money off the guy. Then he had a comeback from 68 to 72. He still is just whoring him out. Then they drifted apart because Parker's main rule during he organized tours was to plan the logistics and make sure tickets were sold. He would usually fly to the venues ahead, prepare for Presley's entourage to follow so that he and Presley rarely saw each other. As time progressed, it became even more difficult for Parker to get in contact with Presley. These two performances, as well as being financially satisfying, also allowed Parker to fulfill Presley's recording contract with RCA. Between 69 and 72, RCA released 3 albums of live material. And then it just goes on about the special. And then he's a drug addict, and everybody knows it, but nobody knows what to do with it. He's turning down $5 million from the Saudi Arabia because he doesn't want to get caught maybe doing what he should have been doing. I don't know. And he doesn't even tell Elvis. And like I said, if you go to Elvis's house, it could have been a lot better. I'm just saying. They became strangers to one another. And then get a load of this. So Elvis dies, right? Colonel Parker goes to the funeral. Shortly afterwards, he traveled to Memphis for Presley's funeral. Mourners recall being surprised at Colonel Parker wearing a Hawaiian shirt and a baseball cap, smoking his trademark cigar, and avoiding the casket. At the funeral, he persuaded Presley's father to sign over control of Presley's career in death. Okay, this is where I say, look, not everybody got the best education. I got a pretty good one and didn't pay attention. Though I got nobody to blame but myself. But some people didn't. You have to get a lawyer. This is where I don't hate lawyers. My dad's a lawyer, but I don't like dealing with all that. I'm not, like Dolly says she's a great business person. Well, I'm not. And I don't like it, but you have to do it. Just a sad little story. Who knew he was Dutch? Who knew maybe he was a murderer? Who knew maybe he didn't even have a goddamn American passport? That wouldn't fly today. No siree. All right. I told you guys to watch Don't Fuck with Cats. Did you watch it? Did you love it? Okay, look, I know some of you guys wrote it's too disturbing in the beginning when he's killing cats. It's awful. I know, but you have to get past that. Because this guy was real, and here's why you really got to pay attention. There's just not that many Canadian serial killers. I'd have to Google to see. There are some more, maybe like 3, which is probably also the size of their Air Force. Okay, that was a joke just from my Canadian friend, Lars. You just don't think about, I mean, Canada, I've been there a million times. It's huge. Their cities are huge, but this documentary is about the serial killer. First, he starts with killing cats. And now here's the thing. There's internet nerds that are featured in this show, and I love the lady. The guy doesn't have a ton of personality, but Deanna Thompson, and she's one of the ones I would give 100% credit for finding the killer, is right up my alley. She's weird, weird as shit. She knows it, and she just does weird things by herself on her computer. And I'm not really a computer person as much, but I do have friends that if I say, hey, can you guys give me a report? It's like the Witches of Eastwick. They will go and come back with 17 pages on a human that I just saw at a bar. They're good at it. And this lady was good at it. It was one of Netflix's top 5 most documentaries. It's about Luca Magnotta, the Canadian, and it starts with that. But like, where do you even see that? And then people say the dark web. Well, I thought, I wonder what that is. And I rabbit holed that. When you see how to get on the dark web, I don't even understand how you get on. That it's not for dummies. I mean, you got to download all this shit. And then I think, do you even want that on your computer? What if your computer just bursts into flames? Maybe it's a trick. Who knows? Somehow she saw the cat killing video got sent around. And then they were trying to say, you know, somebody should go arrest this guy for animal cruelty. And then they were saying he's doing crazier stuff. And then he was threatening to kill people. And then they formed their own Facebook group I don't really do Facebook that much, but then when you see what it's capable of, honestly, there's a man, and the man's name is John Green, and Deanna Thompson should be hired as internet cops immediately. Right now, she has a good job at a casino in Las Vegas, and when she got really involved in this, the killer sent her a video of her casino where she works with, and she's like, I mean, what am I going to do? Go in and tell my bosses, you know, at home when I'm bored, I'm hunting a serial killer, and now I think he's in the casino? I mean, who's going to fucking believe that? And I thought, yeah, she's right. That'd be a weird thing to have to admit to, A, and then B, try to convince people that you haven't just really lost your mind. It's a three-part docuseries that follows a group of amateur internet sleuths who launched a manhunt for Luca Magnotta after he gained international notoriety for sharing graphic video of killing two kittens. He was later convicted for murdering a Chinese international student, Jun Lin, in grisly circumstances. It's extremely grisly. But the whole... I know there were people that were like, they couldn't get through the cat-killing part. But you got to get through it, because it's true. And this is why I think the internet is crazy. Like, I think it's just bad. A lot. More than good. Sometimes it's fun. Sometimes I see really funny cat videos. But then if one just popped up in my inbox box of cats in a vacuum bag, kittens, I would just want to vomit. Like, the fact that the cops don't... And these two kept trying to tell the cops, look, this guy is bananas. And they even figured out where he lived. And how they do it is why you have to watch the documentary. It all starts with a yellow vacuum. And then she says, Deanna, like normal people would know this. She goes, I mean, there's a group for everything. All you got to do is put in yellow vacuums. And there's like 50,000 people on this Facebook page. And you just ask for help and go, hey, does anybody know this vacuum? And then within 5 seconds, I know exactly what vacuum, where it was made, what years it was made. I'm like, oh, my God. I've never gone that far in the internet. But if you're going to allow people to do these messed up things on the and post whatever they want, then we need to have some cops. And I know a friend who had to go to the cops for an internet thing with this guy, and the cops are like, yeah, we don't do that. Sorry, man. That's all, you know, that's unregulated. It's the Wild West. But these two people, John and Deanna, you know, if you paid them, just paid her at night, let her keep her real job. Just give her shit to look, and you can, because there's some really bad stuff on the internet, and I believe these two could find them, the bad people. And this is my beer chaser to my Bloody Mary, in case you're wondering why all of a sudden I have a Bud Light glass and a Mick Ultra in it. I just couldn't believe the depth of what, when you see what these two do, they figured out what apartment building he was in. And they tried to tell the cops, because then he did kill the guy. And he posted that, too. How do you post that? I don't even understand that. Which also leads me to, you have to go watch The Great Hack. It's another internet thing. It's about Cambridge Analytical, though. And it's about how they're stealing all of our data and sending it all around the world. And then nobody's paying for it. Mark Zuckerberg. I don't really think there's anyone I dislike quite as much as him in the public forum, if you will. Because I think there's something wrong with him. And I don't really know that I believe he's 100% human. Might be a robot. And he doesn't answer questions, truthfully, if at all. Anyway, what the internet is capable of, and the fact that our... And I get why our cops don't have time. They're busy. I mean, whether it's St. Louis, there's crime going on out there in the actual real world. And then the internet world, they don't have time for that. But guess who does have time? Deanna and John. And they enjoyed it. They liked the hunt. They liked to do it. And then they got... But her whole point was, you can do a lot of bad things on the internet, but as soon as you fuck with a cat, the cat people are coming. And that's why it's called that. And that's why I think, you guys, if you haven't watched it, I watched it twice. I watched it one with Ron, my little bobblehead friend right there, Ron White. And then I watched it again so that I could talk about it in more real time, because I watched it with Ron like 6 months ago. And then I watched it again because I had even forgotten something. Even on a second viewing, there was stuff I was like, yeah, I didn't even think about that. They know how to do everything. I don't understand why these two aren't hired. I don't understand. Maybe the cops now, my thing with my friend was like 10 years ago, but maybe they have... internet cops now, but I don't feel like it's being monitored. I feel like you have to take care of your own crap, and then when crazy stuff comes up, you know, well, it's just too bad, too sad. All right. The Great Hack. I did love it. I don't really understand it, honestly. And then I think it's too late, right? Like, they're selling our information that's in our phones. In my opinion, this all started with you have to have a credit card to rent a car. Well, then I knew I couldn't commit a crime. I wasn't thinking about committing a crime, but I knew, oh, okay. Because you used to just be able to give cash. Nope. Check into a hotel, better have a credit card. Credit card is the key to everything. Some people don't want credit cards. You know what I mean? Some people don't like to live like that. I don't care because I don't care and I'm not really planning on committing a crime. But it's just forced participation. And then I felt that way with the fax machine. Because my agency was screaming, you have to get a fax machine. I go, why don't you just send the shit like you used to? In the mail. And then I'll mail it back. I don't care. And then they're like, no, you have to get a fax machine. At the time, they were like, $9,000 for a fax machine. And I was like, are you guys going to pay for it? And they're like, no. So I got forced into buying that. I didn't want it. And it was also the size of a Chevy Vega. And I had to shove that in a one-bedroom apartment in Hermosa Beach. What's that over there? What'd you buy? Oh, that's a fax machine. The thing that's the size of the refrigerator? Yeah, send me a fax. You'll see it work. So when you watch The Great Hack, it's on Netflix. It's really good. And it's all about Cambridge Analytical messing with the election and how they would, you know, they focus in on certain groups and then they send you fake news stories. And I remember one time I was in Detroit and this is how I know it was happening. My, the guy, the Uber driver guy, I was going to the club that night and he was a black guy and he heard me talking to my friend on the phone about Trump and Hillary, like what, something in the news. And he was like, man, he goes, I ain't voting for Trump. He goes, but I don't know about that Hillary. I'm going to vote for her, but a lot of my relatives aren't. And I said, what don't they like about her? Aside from whatever, you know, the normal stuff that Hillary does, people don't like Hillary for. He goes, well, there was all this stuff on Facebook about Hillary had people murdered in Kenya. And my fool ass relatives believe that shit. I said, she did it. Or she paid people to do it. He goes, either which way. They see that shit and they're out. Now, I never saw that story. Like, I don't think that's true. I don't know why she would even want to do that, even if she had the power to do that. But certain stories were focused to certain people. But then again, you know, I don't know. Sometimes my parents believe stories on there, not stories. They believe pictures. They are not the group that thinks anything's photoshopped. My mom will say, well, be careful in Manhattan. I saw that there's a great white in the Hudson. What? I saw it, Kathleen. It's already jumped up on a pier and eaten dogs. What? It's probably photoshopped, Mom. I don't think there's a great white on a pier in New York City eating a dog. But I'll go look because I got nothing but time. So I do think everything that they did when you watch that documentary, it's damaging, but, you know, you're saying that people are susceptible to their minds being changed by things on Facebook, and that just wouldn't do it for me. I'm not there for that, but maybe, clearly, some people were. Now, as we get out of here, this is one of the best mysteries I have found in what? Like my siblings that are around my age, they're paying for their children's college and they're paying for all kinds of things. And I think, isn't that nice? Like my parents didn't pay for shit for us. I'm okay with that though. Truthfully, I am okay because I've always known how to take care of myself. But like this was my Christmas present last year. This is my... Because my mom always says, what do you want? I go, nothing, Mom. I'm good. I have everything. You just give me a dozen golf balls. Give me a pair of silver earrings. It's something simple. And they got me History 2020 Unexplained Mysteries, 365 Days of Inexplicable Events, Strange Disappearance, and Baffling Phenomenon. And you know what? I got to say, they hit it out of the park. I love it. It's given me hours of entertainment. So I breeze through these all, and I'm trying to find the ones that are super cool or super interesting, because some are just kind of wah-wah. But, you know, they did have to figure out 365 of them, so they all can't be great. But I'm going to weed it down for you guys and get the great ones. But I do think you should go watch The Great Hack. And then I do read the YouTube comments. And most of you termites are very funny and very nice. There's a few mean ones. But there's going to be cranky people. We're in weird times, you know? But, you know, comment. YouTube, what did you think? Do you think they're still doing it? Do you think they're selling our information to people that are then creating videos that will affect me in one way or another? You still got to trick me, though. That's the thing. You can have all, you take the information, then TikTok, they're taking the children's information. The children are in. They're already in. If you enter the grid, have you ever tried to quit Facebook? Any of you? Christ, it'd be easier to quit Jonestown, that cult. It would be easier to get out of Guyana, wherever they were, in a jungle. It would be easier, let's just say a jungle, in case I was wrong there. It'd be easier to get out of a jungle with no car and no money than it is to quit Facebook and leave a cult who has security guards saying you can't leave. I'd still have a better chance getting out of there than I would getting out of Facebook. Doesn't go away for a very, very long time. And then I think, do I care? My dad saw, I got one of those free, what's it called? The black thing, the tube, Alexa. Yeah. He goes, is that on? No. Are you sure? I said, yeah, because the light would blink. Don't ever turn that on. They're collecting all your information. They'll use it against you. Who's they? What information? And what will I be doing? I don't think there's anybody that organized. We can't even organize an election and how to vote. And yet, maybe. All my dad ever thinks of is workman's comp cases. And he goes, you know, back in the day when they made you join those grocery store clubs, I had clients that were collecting workman's compensation, and then they'd go research what they bought at the grocery store, and they'd say, oh, you bought liquor, and oh, you bought this. Everything's being tracked. Everything. Give as little as you can and unplug that goddamn thing out of your wall. Okay. No problem. Would you like to take it with you? Do your mom want one? It'll play music. It'll play all your music from the 50s and 60s. You could just tell it, hey, play Buddy Holly, and then it'll do it. Is that appealing? Okay. This is great. This is our mystery. The Southern Television Broadcast Interruption was the first major television broadcast interruption. It occurred at 1710 military time, only for smart people. Sorry, this is a British deal. What time is 1710? I wasn't in the goddamn military. 5:10? Yeah, probably. On 26 November, or November 26th. 1977, at the Hannington Transmitter of the Independent Broadcasting Authority. Stay with me on this. On Saturday, November 26th, Southern TV's Andrew, this is in parts of England, so I can tell. Southern TV's Andrew Gardner was presenting the early evening news. At 7:10, the TV picture wobbled slightly, followed by a deep buzz. The audio was replaced by a distorted voice delivering a message for almost 6 minutes. What the fuck? In 77, somebody took over your broadcast? 6 minutes? And you know there's all the guys in the control room going, we gotta stop it, and clearly they didn't know how. The hoaxer, or alien, I prefer alien, claimed to be Vrillion, V-R-I-L-L-O-N, a representative of Ashtar Galactic Command. Oh, I like it. Reports of the incident vary, some calling the speaker Vrillion or Gillen, and others Asteron. The interruption ceased shortly after the statement had been delivered, transmissions returning to normal before the end of a Looney Tunes cartoon. Later in the evening, Southern Television apologized for what it described as a breakthrough in sound. Oh, come on now. It's a little bit more than that. Then I'm going to read you what the voice said. And you got to go on YouTube because it's all there. The exact night. I don't know how. Because I don't think anybody had a camera to be filming their own television, but it's there. And I'm going to tell you. Well, I'll tell you this before I read what the guy, what Vrillion said. The broadcast became a footnote in ufology. There's a thing called ufology, U-F-O-L-O-G-Y, as some chose to accept the supposed alien broadcast at face value, question the explanation of a transmitter hijack. No, by the way, no one ever claimed responsibility for this. Nobody. Which is weird, because if you wanted to go through all this bullshit, why would you do that and then not say, brag about it, right? Within 2 days of the incidents, report in the Times, a letter to the editor was published. How can the IBA or anyone else be sure the broadcast was a hoax? Exactly. And you know what? If Vrillion can get in, so can Germany. This is crazy. It's on the news. The editorial board of one American newspaper, the Eugene Register Guard, commented, nobody seems to consider that Astron, or Vrillion, may have been for real. By as late as 1985, the story entered urban folklore with suggestions there had never been an explanation of the broadcast. That's true. You guys want to hear what he told people? I did. Do you want me to read it like I heard it? No, that's too difficult. I can't keep up with that. I'll go out of character. Yeah, okay. So it was a normal Sunday unless you lived in the Southern TV area. And it's the southeast and southwest of England. It's headquartered in Southampton and Dover, and the broadcast across the south from transmitters Dover, blah, 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 blah. 10 minutes. At 10 minutes past 5, yeah, okay, the engineers tried to fix it. Nobody could fix it. And then this is. It purported to be a communication from an individual identifying themselves as Vrillion, representing a body called Ashtar Galactic Command. And the message was simple. And here he goes. This is the voice of Vrillion, a representative from Ashtar Galactic Command, speaking to you. For many years, you have seen us as lights in the skies. We speak to you now in peace and wisdom as we have done to your brothers and sisters and all over this, your planet Earth. We've come to warn you of the destiny of your race and your world so that you may communicate to your fellow beings the course you must take to avoid the disaster which threatens your world and the beings on our worlds around you. This is an order that you may share in the Great Awakening. As the planet passes into the new age of Aquarius. By the way, I hated that song. This is the dawning of the age of Aquarius. Whew, I found that annoying. The new age can be a time of great peace and evolution for your race, but only if rulers are made aware of the evil forces that can overshadow their judgments. Be still now and listen, for your chance may not come again. All of your weapons of evil must be removed. The time for conflict is now past, and the race of which you are part of may proceed to higher stages of its evolution if you show yourselves worthy to do this. You have but a short time to learn to live together in peace and goodwill. Small groups all over the planet are learning this and exist to pass on the light of the dawning. New Age to all of you. You are free to accept or reject their teachings. Well, who were they? Where the fuck were they? If I'm some lady in South England with a crumpet and a cup of tea and this shit comes on, what am I supposed to do about this? How about be a little more specific? Say I work down at the bank.
Hear now the voice of Vrillion, a representative, speaking to you. Be aware that there are many false prophets and guides operating in your world. They will suck energy from you.
I can tell you one that's sucking my energy right now, but I won't talk about politics.
They will suck your energy from you, the energy you call money, and it will put it to evil ends and give you worthless dross.
I don't even know what that word means. D-R-O-S-S. Never seen it in print. Once again, I have a college education. This is what happens when you do your football pool during college classes.
Oh, it means something regarded as rubbish. Oh. You give you worthless dross in return. I'd have gotten better with rubbish. Your inner divine self will protect you from this. You must learn to be sensitive to the voice within you that can tell you what is truth, what is confusion, chaos, and untruth. Learn to listen to the voice of truth, which is within you, and you will lead yourselves on the path of evolution. Our message to our dear friends, we have watched you grow for many years, as you too have watched our lights in the sky. You know that we are here, and that there are more beings on Earth than your scientists admit. Oh, no. We're deeply concerned about you. Thanks. And your path towards the light. We'll do all we can do to help you. We have no fear. Seek only to know yourselves. Have no fear. Seek only to know yourselves and live in harmony with the ways of your planet. We of the Ashtar Galactic Command thank you for your attention. We are now leaving the plane of your existence. May you be blessed by supreme love and truth of the cosmos.
Here's my problem with aliens. Quite frankly, I have the same problem with the Virgin Mary, if you're to believe Fatima. Do we believe Fatima? I do, because I don't think kids would make shit like that up. I think they are. I do. But the message is, this is too vague. Say, I'm just going on the premise that it's an alien, by the way. What would be the point of this hoax? Just to show you could do it? If that's the point, you'd have admitted it, and you'd want credit for it, and you'd want to be on, you know, a TV show, because in 77 they had it. But who could have done this? Was it an inside job? Somebody thought it would be funny? It's not funny. It's weird. But I mean, what? See, here's the problem. If the aliens have been watching us, you would know, you know, that we're watching game shows where people fall in pots of water if they don't answer a question right. We're not that advanced. We're not advanced enough to understand what am I supposed to do? Be still now and listen? Okay, for how long? 5 minutes? 10 minutes? A day? If this is an alien, I would say, aliens, you have overestimated how smart we are as a people, as a race. Holy shit, we've got people doing dumb things. I mean, I'm sitting here scratching off lottery tickets, and you want me to do what? Prepare for the new age of the Aquarius? By the way, this is 1977. How many years ago was that? 43 years ago. Well, is it happening? What Vrillion said? I don't know. Things are shitty right now, but are they a whole lot worse than 1977? I don't know. I was 11. I was creating a disco in my room featuring Sean Cassidy and Saturday Night Fever double album, dancing from 7 to 8. That's what was happening in my bedroom. I mean, I just don't listen to the voice of truth, which is within you, and you will lead yourselves on the path of evolution. We're talking to people that, you know, it's Southern England. People work, they're fishermen. They work in factories. It's not London. You didn't even go onto the London thing where you might have got people that might be sitting around, rich people that'll take a class in whatever this is. They're deeply concerned about us. Well, that's lovely. You're a path towards the light, and we will do all we can to help you. You haven't told us what to do. So here's what I got to say, Vrillion. I'm open to it, but you know what? That's just not enough information for me to there's no action item here. That's my problem. I'm very good with marching orders. But I'm not good with just, you know, you people are evil. We're not in charge of it either. We're just normal people. This should have been sent to world leaders and scare the shit out of them. Why would you put it on TV during the middle of the news with also Looney Tunes cartoons coming on next? I don't know. But I'll tell you, go on YouTube and watch it. It's freaky. I think that's all I have for you guys today. What did we learn? Aliens are vague. None of that was helpful. None of it. Be more specific. Say your nuclear power plants are going to explode. Shut them down. Okay. Thanks, man.
Something like that, you know. We learned that Larry Flint was friends with Big Jerry, a.k.a. Fat Jerry Falwell Sr. I find billboards annoying, and I think they should be taken down. And I think we talked about don't fuck with cats, and we talked about The Great Hack, which I think you guys should watch and then comment on YouTube. I may talk a little bit about that more about that next time because I have to think about that a little bit more. It was very hard. I had to take breaks and, you know, get some my cheese puffs, the bites, cheese bites, stuff like that because it's hard to understand it all. And what's crazy is the people that are doing it are like 11. I mean, if you want to feel old, watch the people that are in charge of all this shit. Okay, termites. I know it may not be nighttime. Some of you, apparently some postal workers, are listening to me on their walks. That's nice. I'm a big supporter of the post office. And I'm going to say night-night, termite. Because you deserve it, even if you're out walking. You pretend you're going to go to bed right now. And for you guys who actually are going to bed, what do I got for you from Runway? Night-night, termite.